What a wonderful and blessed tie it is that binds us together in Christ and that brings us together here this morning to worship Him. We're thankful for this opportunity. We're glad that you're here, especially if you're visiting with us. We hope that our time in worship will be a blessing in your life. We're excited here at Eastside about our upcoming gospel meeting. Brother Ralph mentioned it a little bit earlier. A week from this coming Friday, I believe Justin Robertson will be with us. We need to be thinking about that and planning for it and praying about it. It'll be an exciting time for us here at Eastside. I invite all to participate and come back with us for those meetings. Having something in common strengthens a relationship. Having the same parents is a good start to a close relationship. I have two sisters whom I love very dearly. Playing on the same sports team, going to the same high school, being raised in the same town, being fans of the same football team, liking the same music or movies or magazines and books. All of these things are things that people can share in common, which, because they share in common, bring them closer together or have the potential to do so. In this lesson, we want to consider what it is that Christians have in common. What it is that we who are diverse people, different ages, different social, economic backgrounds, sometimes different races, what brings us together? What do we share in common that forms this blessed tie among us? As we look around in the world, we realize that as humans we share a lot of things in common. Fundamentally, that God is the creator of all of us. The wise man in Proverbs 22 and verse 2 says that the rich and the poor have this in common, that the Lord is the maker of them all. And also in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 13, the poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. And so you may have somebody who's rich, somebody who's poor. You think, well, these people are worlds apart. We're engaging right now in our country a little bit of class warfare. We want to act like, you know, those that are super rich don't really have anything in common with those who are poor, so on and so forth. But the Bible says they do. They got one thing in common at least, and that is that the Lord is their maker. And you may look at some dictator who's over some country and he's oppressing all of the people in the country and ruining it. And he has citizens who are oppressed and their lives are so awful because of the very things that he's doing. And yet even they have something in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. And so for this reason, even though human beings can be greatly different, we have enough in common that we understand we share in the relationship of being human. Because of this, most of us can bond more readily with another human than we can with, say, a rock. We have this shared experience. But as Christians, we have things that are far beyond just being human that draw us together. And this morning I want to talk about some of those things in hopes, really, that we'll be strengthening our bond together, our relationship with one another. Jesus wants us to be united as believers, to love one another as believers, to be close as believers, and to share in a relationship with Him as believers so that the world will believe. The world will believe. And so this morning, we have in common as Christians, a relationship with God our Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We share in a family relationship, if you will. Notice with me what John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. It talks about that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John uses a word twice in that verse. That's not all that common a word in the New Testament, and when it's used among men today, it's typically misused, and it's the word fellowship. Now, at its root, the word fellowship just means basically to share something in common. It comes, the root of it in the Greek language is the word koin. The word there is koinonia, but it comes from the root koin, which we get our word for money from. The word koin is something that we all, you know, have in common. We recognize the value in common of coin. The language in which the Bible was written, the New Testament was written, is called Koine Greek. It was the common language, the language that was shared by everybody in the empire, if you will. And so everybody could speak that and talk it, read it perhaps. That's the common Greek. Well, here we have a shared, a common relationship. John talks about a relationship that he wants us to have with him, with the other apostles, with fellow Christians, and with, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what we're called into is a common family relationship. We share together in the same Father, God our Father. And this is that thing that we have in common that should draw us closer together than any other relationship we might have on earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we learn that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we share in a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, with our brother Jesus Christ, His Son, all of us as family together. Having family in common draws us closer together, just as that's true in the physical realm with your physical family, even more so ought it to be true in the spiritual realm. We eat a meal together that affirms this fellowship. We ate it together this morning. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And he says that the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. There's a word that's translated also twice in this text with the word communion. It's the exact same word that's found in 1 John 1:3 that's translated fellowship. Communion is fellowship. It's jointly partaking together, sharing together in the body and the blood of Christ in this relationship with Him. What a wonderful thing it is that we can be family. What a wonderful thing it is that we can be family. And if the bond that we have in Christ, commemorated in the meal that we partook of this morning, can draw us together to glorify the God who made us and who is, as Bernie so eloquently put in his prayer this morning, even now among us. Here's what we share. A relationship as family in Christ. And we share what Peter calls in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, a like precious faith. He begins that epistle by saying, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have a common faith. He calls it a precious faith, and so it's kind of hard to call something precious and common at the same time, but it is. It's precious, and yet it's shared. Shared by all of us. Titus shared in this faith. Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, he says. This shared faith. Faith is something that if you share it with somebody, if you believe in something, then you'll fight together for what it is that you believe in. Notice what Jude says in Jude verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We have a common faith, and because we have a common faith, we have a common salvation. And Jude says we need to fight for that. We need to fight for it together, shoulder to shoulder, to stand up for it. The word that's translated just one word in Greek, two words in English, contend earnestly. Contend earnestly for the faith comes from that Greek word, it's agonize. You're gonna really struggle for it. You're gonna agonize for the faith, and you're gonna do that together. If you have something that you believe in, somebody else believes in it too, automatically you have a bond. If you're willing to join together and contend for that and fight for it, we have political campaigns going on right now. And people of common faiths, of common beliefs about politics, have banded together and are fighting for their beliefs, not literally fighting, but in the arena of public opinion. We have a common faith, common beliefs, a set of beliefs that we share together. And fighting together as soldiers is what we do because of our common faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul tells Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but share in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God." So he's inviting Timothy really to go through some difficulties with him. Share with me in this. Have this in common with me, if you will. And then he tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, just a little later on, that you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're willing to fight. You're willing to die if you have to. Go through whatever you need to go through because you have this faith, and I'm willing to do the same, and others with the same faith. We're all fighting for this because we have a common faith. We also have then a common enemy. And we all face his attacks. And that enemy, of course, is Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter writes that we're to be sober and be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, the struggles that you have against Satan, they're not unique to you. They are shared by those of like precious faith, those who are fighting for the same things you are. The trials, the difficulties, the persecutions, whatever it is, they're shared by those who believe the things that you believe. Never feel that as a Christian you are alone in what you're facing in trying to stand up against Satan, for you are not. Christ is always with you, and you have a brotherhood that's going through the same thing. Christians ought never to allow themselves the degree of self-pity where they get so far down and say, nobody understands. Because if you're talking about your struggle against Satan, and you're talking about Christians, I want to tell you that everybody understands. We're all going through it. We're all fighting that battle. We're all in the trenches every day. The lion is after each of us. The same things are accomplished in your brotherhood in the world. When Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 to encourage us to realize that by the power and grace of God, we do have the ability to overcome temptation and to fight against it. He says, as he starts that verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. It's a common experience. It's a shared experience. It's something that we have in common. Now, as a result of our precious faith, we're willing to fight for something together. We're willing to fight against the devil together, to band together in doing this. And we're willing to share whatever we have of material or spiritual blessings with one another because we're on the same team. We're in the same army. We're fighting for this like precious faith. You might note what happens in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. We know the story. Peter and the apostles preach on the day of Pentecost. People here believe, are baptized, and they're added to the church, thousands of souls on that day. And it says about them in Acts 2 and verse 44 that those who believed were together and had all things in common. It's talking about their material things. They were willing to share material things because of the faith that they had. Do you see that? The faith that they had in common made their material things also in common. Acts 4 and verse 32 says essentially the same thing, and this is sometime after the events of Acts 2. But in Acts 4 and verse 32, it says that the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. You see the commonality there? Sharing together in one heart, one soul, and all of them believers. It says they are one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now I understand in the situation in the Jerusalem church there was special circumstance that was going on, and there was a special need for Christians to be willing to share whatever they had. But my point is that because they shared a faith, and because they had one heart and one soul, they were gladly willing to share everything else. This was not an imposition. This was just part of being part of the body of Christ. In both of these cases, the verses I mentioned here in Acts 2 and in Acts 4, before people shared their possessions, before they had those things in common, they shared their faith. Now, just a side comment here, that's got backwards in the religious world today. People approach Christianity by first wanting to share their things and then sharing their faith, which is the exact opposite of the way it was done in Scripture. They had belief in common before they had things in common. We're willing to share our things with all if we're Christians, but we have a special interest in helping those who share our faith and are members of our spiritual family. And that's exactly what Paul gets at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, when he says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." Let's be willing to share with anybody, but especially those who are of our family, of our faith. We share, as Christians, a love for one another as a result of the common love that Christ has shared with all of us. We love Him because He first loved us, and we love one another because He loved us. This is the bond of perfection. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, "Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Here's the thing that we share that completes us in Christ. I think sometimes we're confused about the nature of love itself, and it doesn't hurt us to talk and think about love an awful lot. We need to. Two young people notice each other at school one day, a girl and a boy. You might remember, if you're old like me, those school days. And you might remember an experience like this. You notice, if you're a boy, you notice a girl. And you just start looking at her and you say, "I like her." And as you go through the school day, you decide more and more you like her, and for some reason you can't take your eyes off of her. And then maybe she decides she likes you back. And so, you know, you sit at the lunch table together across the table from each other and just make big eyes at one another and just look at each other. That's how things get started, isn't it? And two young people decide, well, they love each other because they like to look at each other. Is that what love is? What happens when you get old and wrinkled like me? You're not so good to look at anymore. Well, then love goes away, doesn't it? I don't know. What's love really? Is it two people just looking at each other and they're just so pleased with one another, they just can't take their eyes off one another? Is that what love is? I don't think so. I think it's two people who are bound together because they share not looking at each other, but looking toward something together. And so I find a much better definition of love, and not two people looking at each other, but two people looking at a sunset. People looking at a new house, a newborn child, a grandchild. Two people looking at an old picture. Two people watching a favorite movie. That's more really what love is. It's two people looking in the same direction together. in our lives in Christ, it's two people looking together beyond this life to an eternity. And it's not just two people, it's all of us. All of us together, bound by this bond of perfection, love, looking together at eternity. Listen to Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. And catch a hint of this. As he says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, that if we are children, and we are, that's what we share, we're in the family. If we are children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Together heirs with Christ. Here's something that we have in common. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified, what's the word? Together. That we may be glorified together. For He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here's what we share. This anticipation, this hope of glory. People looking at something, striving for something together. For He says, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. We have in common as Christians a love for God's truth. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, the Apostle writes, as he talks about there, the nature of love, that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Christians love this book because it is the truth. They love it not only because it's from God, but because the effect that it has upon their lives. They're interested in what it has to say, in understanding it correctly, in applying it appropriately. And all of us who are Christians and part of the family of God share in this love together, if we share in love. Because love does not rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in this truth. So we're happy to come to a Bible study or have one in our home or listen to a sermon or go to a gospel meeting because of the love for truth that we share as a basis of it all. We sang a song Wednesday night after the invitation this morning. We're going to, Lord willing, try to sing it again. The lyrics to it go like this, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word. At Eastside, in the few months that I've been here, I have seen this common love. I have seen the things that we share that are, I think, to the members of this congregation, far more precious and more important than anything that could tear us apart. This morning, maybe you're not a member of the Lord's church. Can I, on behalf of Christ, invite you into our fellowship? Invite you to share with us in these things. That's what being a Christian is about. It's what we share. The invitation is open to you. If you name the name of Jesus, turn away from sin and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can be a part of the family. You can share our Father, our faith, our hopes and dreams for a future and an eternity together. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.